grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Before he was Abraham, he was Abram. He's known as the father of faith, yet he had no faith that he would ever have an heir. He felt he would die without one. God called him to forsake everything and move to a new land and promised that he would have innumerable descendants to populate it. Yet he and his wife were now elderly and childless. Now it's true Abraham had great earthly wealth, but no one to pass it on to. More than anything, he wanted a son. And since one did not seem to be forthcoming, he took matters into his own hands. He adopted Eleazar of Damascus to fulfill God's promises. Now, interestingly, the word Eleazar means God is my help. It would seem that from this guy's name, Abram was admitting that he had lost all hope that God would help him to have a son through his beloved wife Sarai. After all, at her age, it would take a miracle for her to conceive. Well, the miracle came. We read, "Behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said, 'This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir.'" Now, God could have easily written Abram off at that point because of his sin of unbelief. Abram let fear overshadow his faith. Yet God does not abandon his children, Abram, you, or me. When we fail, God is still faithful. Yes, an elderly woman bearing a child is a great miracle, but the greater miracle is that God does not abandon us to unbelief. God gave us our faith. God gave it to us, and he is always faithful. The faith you have was never your faith to begin with. It was not through any good work you had done, not through anything you deserved. God gave you your faith as a gift. There was nothing in Abram, nothing in you, nothing in me that draws God to us. Only his undeserved love and mercy draws God to anyone. So God directed Abram to look up at the night sky. He said, "Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if you are able." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." Now that's quite a promise, especially to an elderly couple. Descendants from their own body would outnumber the stars of the night. But with that, God took fear and turned it into faith. And so we read, Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Now, this is the first time in Scripture such a statement is made, that belief gives you credit for being righteous. Luther considered this to be one of the foremost passages of all Scripture, because it is the very power of God's word that turns fear into faith. So as this passage in Genesis ends, we're left with a promise, but a promise that did not seem to change a thing. Abram and Sarai were still childless. The only thing that changed at that point was that Abram now believed, and God counted that faith as righteousness. Trusting in God is what faith is all about. In our epistle lesson, Hebrews 11, we read, "Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Abraham did not see an heir at the moment, but now through faith, he had the confident hope that he would soon have one because he believed God. Now, faith is not wishful thinking. Faith is not whistling a happy tune, hoping something better may come along, maybe. It is complete trust that God will do exactly what he says he will. Faith takes God at his word. God's pledge, even for us at times, may seem unseen, as it was for Abram. You know, how easy it is for us today to think to ourselves, well, I'm not in heaven yet. If only I could see Jesus now. I know he's with me. I still have my problems. I know I've got all, there's pressures at school, pressures at work, pressures at home. There's uncertainty about the future. The world is full of evil. Yes, God, I believe in you, but why are you so slow? Well, if we're tempted to think that way, let's compare what's written in our Old Testament lesson with what's written in our gospel lesson. God says in Genesis, "Fear not, Abram." Jesus says in our gospel, "Fear not, little flock." God tells Abram in Genesis, "I am your shield and your reward will be very great." Jesus says in the gospel, "It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." These promises are quite similar. That's because God knows our fears and our anxieties. Now, even today, our sinful nature wants us to think that God's word only applied to people who lived long ago, far away in ancient times. Or we might be tempted to think we have a distant God who's got better things to do, who quickly forgets, who doesn't really care. Well, this account of Abram and our Lord's sermon in Luke, these are good remedies to that kind of thinking. When Abram let fear take possession of himself, he started second-guessing and doubting God. But what is fear? Fear is something of your own making, something that's a result of our sinful nature. Fear is of our own making, but faith is of God's making. It's a gift from him, given out of fatherly kindness and mercy. Faith is given to you despite your sin, your fear, and your doubts. Now, eventually, God gave a son to Abraham and to Sarah. They were renamed. Abram became Abraham. Sarai became Sarah. Their son Isaac was more than just an heir to whom wealth could be passed. Isaac was the child who stood in the family line of Jesus Christ according to his human nature. Abraham the father, Isaac the son, and all those who descended from Isaac were eventually narrowed down until we got to Jesus Christ according to the flesh. Many of Abraham and Isaac's descendants give us a picture of this wonderful Savior that we have. Abraham shows us that faith comes from God. It saves us apart from our good works. Faith is considered righteousness from God. Now, Abraham's willingness to sacrifice Isaac shows that God and God only provides the sacrifice we need to forgive all of our sins. As Isaac said, God himself will, as it was said to Isaac, God himself will provide the sacrifice. That sacrifice is Jesus Christ. Isaac had a grandson, Judah. Judah once offered himself as a substitute, asking that he be punished in the place of his younger brother Benjamin. Well, Jesus is descended from Judah, and Jesus is your substitute, punished in your place. Many generations later came David, the shepherd king of Israel, who conquered all of Israel's enemies. Well, Jesus is your good shepherd, and he conquers your greatest enemy, sin, death, and the power of the devil. And as the 23rd Psalm promises us, that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's Jesus. St. Paul says in Romans chapter 4 that Abraham and Sarah were so old that they considered themselves as good as dead. Yet, God is the God who raises the dead. God's word of promise overcomes death. And isn't Jesus the resurrection and the life? He is your eternal life. The birth of Isaac to such an elderly couple shows that God truly keeps his promises. He gives you the faith to believe it. He turns fear into faith. And may that faith be your shield and your great reward. You can always put your trust in the God who raises the dead. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Please rise. We'll continue with the Nicene Creed on page 158.